the book of Mark, chapter 14. Mark, chapter 14. I want to read on chapter 14, verse 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But this they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment and spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do good unto them. But me you have not always. She has done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your precious word that you left us. I pray, my Father, that if somebody has not broken that precious ointment, I pray, my Lord, that it will even be done tonight. I pray, my Father, that we would adore you, worship you, and love you. And Father, we just pray that you open up our eyes to see and our hearts to understand thy word. We pray above all that you receive all the honor and all the glory. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You know, first of all, I want to thank all our missionaries and all the Church of Oaknell and all the churches represented here tonight for the love that they have shown me and my family throughout so many years. I want to also thank the elders for putting me on the schedule to come and preach. And above all, I want to thank Brother Kincaid for being my mentor, my pastor. And amen. And my friend. There's some things that I'm just going to touch on this story, and it's mainly just so that I can bring some applications to those that are missionaries and the mission fields. I will not be touching on every word, but just on several things. But actually, when you read the New Testament, it's all about missions. Some churches just miss the point. But the Bible, the whole New Testament, is all about somebody getting saved, somebody getting healed. It's all about the sower and about his seed. Jesus says, I have come to search and seek that which was lost. To come and save and seek that which was lost. And he would say all the time, I need to go to the other cities to go preach. So it's all about the sower, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And But what we've got here is a story that you'll find it in three different places. And I just want to set the tone right. This is a story that you also find in Matthew. You'll find also the Apostle John also wrote about it. And you find Mark also speaking about it. And it might be sometimes you get a little bit confused when you read it. When you put all three of them together, then you get a clearer picture. You see on one of them where it says that it was 6 days before the Passover. And on the other one, you see that it was only 2 days. What happened is that he arrived at Bethany 6 days before the Passover. But when they finally went to that dinner party, or whatever you want to call it, that get-together, that fellowship, it was only 2 more days when they were at Simon Peter's, or rather, at Simon the leper's house. It's only 2 days, And the Lord's about to fulfill. He's only 2 days away from fulfilling what had been written in the Scriptures. What had been said of Him by John the Baptist, that behold, this is the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. He's about to execute the final Passover, the one that had been started thousands of years before in Egypt. We see that the Lord is on His way to fulfill His role. But before I get to the heart of this story, where I really want to concentrate, I'd like to talk to you a little bit first about Simon the leper. It's his house. It's his party. So, who is this Simon the leper? You know, when I looked in the Scriptures and began to search who was Simon the leper, I found that the Bible has many Simons. You've got Simon Peter. You've got Simon the Cyrenian, which is the one that was employed to help the Lord as He was taking that cross up Calvary Mountain. And he didn't carry the cross. Luke tells you that he was the one in the back. He was the one just holding the back end of the cross. Our Lord and Savior is the one that took it all the way to the top. He was under His power and His command. But we have also Simon the sorcerer. You find in Acts chapter 8. We find also Simon the father of Judas Iscariot, which I didn't realize that was his name also. And we find also Simon the Canaanite, which is also one of the apostles. But in the Old Testament, they don't give you a last name. I don't know why, or maybe they didn't have one. But you notice that all the time he would be like Jonah, or rather Simon, son of Jonah. So that way you would know who they're talking about. Because there's so many Simons. And this is precisely the reason why we have here, so we don't get confused. They call him Simon the leper. But you know, who was this Simon the leper? Was he still a leper at this time? Because that's what he's being called. He's, and of course, if he was still a leper, then the Lord would not have gone to his house. First of all, he would have been contaminating everybody. His house would have been unclean. So we know that he had to have met the Lord at one time or another. But even though you get cleansed, even though we get saved, we still carry the old baggage. We still carry the old reputation. We still carry our old name many times. People know you for so many different things. But we have here a Simon that had been cleared at one time and cleansed. And there's many lepers, the Bible says, that had been cleansed. But not too many gave Jesus all the honor and glory. It might have been the one on Mark chapter 1. The Bible says that he came to Jesus and he got on his knees and he began to cry out. And he says, if thou will, thou can cleanse me. And you know, the Lord went ahead and cleansed him, and he just thanked the Lord so much. Or maybe he was one of the lepers from Luke chapter 17. If you read the Scriptures, you'll find out that there were 10 of them. But when they were cleansed, 9 fled the scene. It's typical of Christians who get saved, and then they don't want to serve the Lord. They could care less. They've already been cleansed. So now it's time to go back to mama. It's time to go back to the world. Time to go back to the things that they used to do. And they don't want to thank the Lord. But there was one who did. The Bible says that he glorified God with a loud voice. And he got on his face and he just gave him thanks. I suspect that of all of them, it had to be one of these two. But regardless, the Simon that we have now here is a cleared leper. He does not have leprosy. If he had, Jesus wouldn't have gone by there. But he had already been cleansed. It's only the name that remains. And this is what I see about this Simon the leper, that even though he's being called Simon the leper, he didn't complain. You know, we ought to learn a lesson from that. Because first of all, as you go through life and you've been saved, You're going to encounter some of your old friends that knew you and ran around with you and knew your past. They're going to bring it up. It's best that you don't try to defend yourself. You already did it. Just give God all the glory. My wife, I know several stories of people that just went through this. My wife was visiting with her sister just last week. She hadn't seen her in a long time. And she decided to bring up the past and say, "Oh yeah, Lupi, I remember when you were young, you used to be real mean with me." And my wife just listened to all the, of course, all the accusations were correct. But she told me that. And finally she said, "You know what? I'm just so happy that the Lord saved me and changed my life." That shut her up. But you know, I've heard other stories. There's, you know, I just won't mention names, but we all come across things like this. I've come across them, you know, guys who knew me from a long time ago, and they'll tell me, "Oh, yeah, I remember when." But just use it for God's glory. Use it to be a witness. Just let them know, "Yeah, but look what God has done with me now. I used to be a leper, but look, you don't find a spot on me anymore. I have been cleansed." The reputation will follow you, beloved. And they will never be calling you Simon the Healed. Nobody was calling him Simon the Clean. They still call him Simon the Leper. But don't worry, that's your past. The thing is that many times we ruin our names in this life. But just because you got a bad beginning doesn't mean you have to end that way.
That's right.
We all started bad. The thing is that none of us were good. The Bible says that we were children of disobedience. We were children of wrath. But once God came in and saved you and changed you, now you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's why we need to rejoice. And that's what I'm rejoicing. In other words, I could very easily say, "Yeah, I'm Trinidad the Leper." But you know, one time the Lord also came by my house, and I also called upon His name. Now, I didn't do it exactly the way He did, who, if it was one of them who says, if you will, you can cleanse me. But I said something very similar. I've said it from this pulpit before. When I got saved, I remember I was talking to the Lord. And I said, "Lord, 20 years ago I made a promise that I would come back to Your Word. 20 years later, I was 16. I was in a jail. Now I'm 36. And I said, "Lord, I know You can change my heart. I'm tired of failing You." He did. He changed my life. Now people can call me Trinidad the Leper, but I have been cleansed. Amen. I can have fellowship with the Lord. And this is what we have here. We have a man that is still a sinner by nature, but he has been made a new creation. And the Bible does say all things are now become new. But now let me get to the main course or the main heart of this message. And this has to do with the lady that came this night to this party. It's amazing that two of the writers didn't mention her name. Matthew didn't want to mention it. Mark didn't want to mention it, but the Apostle John did. This was Mary. It's the same circumstances, but in John you don't find that it was at the leper's house, but when you read it carefully, it's the same thing, the same event, the same words were being spoken. This was Mary, the mother, or rather the sister of Martha, the brother of the sister of Lazarus, and it's amazing that she had been at one time at the feet of Jesus. You remember that when Martha was too busy and encumbered about with all the things that needed to be done, and that's necessary, but when the Lord is there, then it's time to get on your knees and listen to Him. When the Lord is speaking, you need to get on your knees and listen very intently to hear His Word, to hear His instructions. This lady obviously put all her heart into it when she listened. She understood some things. Some things that what I see here, the apostles or the disciples did not understand. She understood about the death, burial, and resurrection, and he had told them, I am the resurrection and the life. Believest thou this? They had said, yes, we do. And now it's time to go to Calvary. And here comes Mary, and she breaks her precious box of alabaster and begins to anoint the Lord. And the Lord defended her by saying, she has done it for my burial. Amen. That's something that they had not understood. They were still confused. That's what happens when you just roam around and talk. And I'm sure that these guys were no different than me most of the time. I don't pay attention. My wife many times has to tell me something three times. I say, I already told you. Maybe all of you guys are the same way like me. But I know that the apostles were told over and over and they still couldn't get it. But here's a woman who humbled herself, who had been at the feet of Jesus, and she had learned something very precious. She's now come to anoint the Lord. They had gone to a dinner party. They're serving whatever it was. It's a fellowship. It's something that we all like to do. Mention coffee and donuts, and I'm there. And here we got these guys that are ready to party. But here comes a lady that wants to worship. She's going to start her own worship service. A one-person worship service. Because nobody else is with her. She's on a different page than the rest of them. But you know, the thing is that she put her alabaster box on the line. You know, the Bible says how much it was worth. You read, some people have said that it was probably worth a whole year's salary. But how long does it take you to put a whole year's salary in savings? It's not a year, because you have to live. You have to buy groceries, so it probably took her a whole bunch of years. I know for me to save a year's wages, it's going to take me a long, long time. And then to go out there and pour it all in one whack and see no return. This is exactly what she did. But you know, when the thing is that when she went and opened the box, she also poured everything out. She anointed the head of Jesus as well as his feet. But I want you to know that breaking the box, many Christians do it all the time. They just want everybody else to smell how good it smells. When it's time to go home, they take it home. In other words, they want the praise of men. Who opened the box? Man, it smells so good. Wow. Oh, it's him. Oh, praise the Lord for him. This is what many times people want. They're looking for praise. And they're willing to open their box, but they won't pour it out. I want you to know that this lady, she poured it all out. And there's so many examples in the scriptures. I thought about Ananias and Sapphira. What did they do? The guys, some of the people are selling everything they got, the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, and they're giving it all to the pastors, to Peter, so that they could distribute among those that are going out into the mission fields. And you see where people are being acknowledged, like Barnabas. He sold everything and his name is being mentioned. And here comes Ananias and Sapphira. They want to have their names mentioned. They want to be exalted. They want to be known as also sacrificing Christians. But then they didn't give it all. They didn't tell nobody. That is tremendous hypocrisy. They wanted the praise of men, but they didn't care about pleasing the Lord. That's why Peter told each one of them, he said, wasn't that property yours? It was. Wasn't that money yours after you sold it? It was. Then why have you been deceived? Why have you lied to God? And you know, the thing is that what they wanted the praise just like Barnabas, but they didn't want to give their very all. But you have here a lady who broke her alabaster box. This is her life earnings. This is what she was so proud of. This is something that she obviously treasured very highly. She had been saving it for years. And then she goes and gives it to the Lord. And not only in His head, but also on His feet. And she was wiping them with her hair. And you know, the thing is that if he had just finished right there, nobody would know. But the Lord paid attention. And this is what I want to point out tonight. Even though this world doesn't care what you do for the Lord, even though you break your alabaster box and you give it all, like our missionaries are doing, this world could care less. Here you've got even church people. These are people that have been cleansed, that are saved, and what are they doing? They're murmuring. They're complaining. Instead of saying, man, look what she did. She didn't hold nothing back. Let's worship the Lord with her. Instead, they're complaining. They're finding indignation because somebody gave it all. Let me tell you, Mary was not concerned about what they thought about anything. She was not interested in all. They're going to see my hair all undone because I'm wiping his feet with my hair. She didn't care about her looks. She didn't care about her posture. All she cared about is, I'm worshiping my Lord and Savior. I'm worshiping the author of the resurrection. He's on His way where He's going to be brutalized and they're going to pierce His feet. His head is also going to be pierced, also with that crown of thorns. And all she could do was just cry and love Him. You know, what I want to tell you is that God gave her the highest honor of anybody. Nobody has ever been said in the Scriptures, I want her name to be remembered. This is what God did. You know what He tells me is that God is concerned with what you do. You sacrifice and you give it all. You go into the mission fields, and I know, I've been there. I know how lonely it is. I know how things come up to your mind and things that you need to do, and you don't know how you're going to do it. And it seems like the whole world doesn't care. But the Lord knows that you have broke your precious things. You have given it all. You've given up careers. You gave up retirements and pensions. You gave up health insurance. You gave up the best colleges for your kids. You didn't hold nothing back. You know, this lady, she broke her alabaster box. But she didn't just break it. She gave it all. Amen. She put it all on the Lord. But I want you to know that the Lord is taking note of this. Maybe this world and the world could care less what I see here, but the Lord cares. Amen. And He puts you in high regard. Amen. One day, I hope I'll be there when you come in, that I might be able to see how you're going to be showered with blessings. You gave it all. And even though many times this world doesn't know this, your sacrifice, they don't know your troubles. You're brought over here once a year and you don't come here to get the praises of men. I know each one of you. You're here because we have called you. We want to hear what you've been doing. But we also want to bring honor to you and make your life comfortable. And just to let you know how much we love you. The thing is that the Lord, this is not going unnoticed what you do. It's just that this lady, This world didn't know, and as far as the people that were there were concerned, they would have gone out and told nobody about it. But the Lord gave her the honor that nobody else had. I want her name being mentioned. How come Matthew didn't put her name? How come Mark didn't put her name? They could have. You have to go to John to find her name. Her name is Mary. We're giving her honor today for what she did. But let me tell you, the only thing that matters is what the Lord says. And the Lord is the one that gives her all the honor. But you know, one last thing I want to point out, and that's on verse 8, where the Lord says she has done what she could. Amen. You know, the Lord is never asking you to give everything you got. Sell your house, give up your job, do everything. Just give it all and give it to somebody and don't worry about where it goes. The Lord knows you got responsibilities. I don't see Mary quitting her job or selling everything she's got in the house. All it's telling you is that she gave all she could. And that's all the Lord is asking from every one of us. He knows that many of us are not equipped to go preach on the streets or feel comfortable going door to door, or you're not able to because of your times and so many things, your illness and so many other things. All He's asking you is to give what you can. This is all we've got. And those that we have sent, that's what they're doing. They're giving all they got. You know, it also reminded me of Micah, the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. What does the Lord require of you? And he said, but to do justly, she did justly. She did what she could do. To love mercy. She's loving the author of mercy. The Father of mercies. And then to walk humbly with thy God. You know, you can see in the scriptures, she was not looking for applause. She wasn't doing this so that she would be mentioned somewhere, so that somebody would look up to her and put her on stone where everybody would be praising her. She did it in a room where very few people were there. She didn't care. She didn't care what she looked like. All she cared about was giving all she could to the Lord. And that's all the Lord is asking of every single one of us. You know, as we go through this mission conference, you that are here and enjoy so many things in this country, and of course, we don't know for how much longer, but right now we're enjoying a lot of prosperity. Do all you can. Amen. Give all you can. And you can go to Mexico or Poland or somewhere else. Go across the street. Go house to house. Go do some ministry. There's so many things. Do what you can, and that's all the Lord is asking of us. And walk humbly with your God. We don't need bells and whistles. We don't need no trumpets being sounded. We just want the Lord. The Lord is the only one that will take notice, and that's all we should care for. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen.